Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. I want to take the opportunity to say that our congregation and myself thanks you for taking the time to listen to this Bible study today. This Bible study was given from the pulpit right here at Open Door Baptist on a Wednesday evening. Our prayer is that this study of God's infallible Word will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you.
Open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to be in the Old Testament tonight. Chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew or rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came saying unto him, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for your love and your mercy, Lord. You've shown me this day that you show me each day. Lord, I thank you for these that have gathered here to hear the word of God tonight, Lord. I pray that you'll use me as a teacher, as a preacher. Lord, whatever thy will may be for tonight, I pray that it be done in order. Lord, you have me to say exactly what you would have me to say. Lord, I pray for those that are traveling tonight, my pastor and Brother Doug and Brother Wendell, keep them safe. I pray the families that are grieving, Lord, for the going home of loved ones. I pray you give them strength, grace. Lord, your grace is sufficient. Lord, I pray that you touch us tonight and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Thank you. Thank you again so much for being here. Pastor didn't put out a one call. All this just kind of came up suddenly, and he was debating on where to go and to put it off with things going on, and it all worked out the way God wanted it to work out. So let's get into our lesson and see what the Lord has for us. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I'm standing, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. The Lord's speaking to Elijah here and told him exactly what to say. And Elijah just kind of appeared out of nowhere. You don't read anything about Elijah in the book of Kings till right here. He just showed up. And I think that's wonderful. It's not important of who he was, his past, or where he came from. What is important is who sent him and what he did. Amen. He was a prophet of the Lord. And getting to that is being God's man. And mention our pastor with that. He's God's man. And we know where our pastor came from. We know his background and all, but appreciate him. Amen. Love you, pastor. Elijah showed up, and he went into this place where he's at here. It's a bad time. And Ahab, the king, was a wicked, wicked man. Y'all know who he was married to, right? Jezebel. One of the wickedest women. Anybody that has any children and wants to name one of them Ahab or Jezebel, please talk them out of it. Amen? You can look back there just a few verses, if you would, at verse 29 in chapter 16. It says, And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. So they were under his rule and reign for 22 years. And Ahab, look at verse 30, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. So, I mean, he was a king above all kings on the evil side. He did wicked things that probably people hadn't never heard of before. He was just wicked. He was a wicked, wicked ruler. And it came to pass, verse 31, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel. That's just goes to show you that sin breeds more sin. Two wrongs don't never make a right. You can't even one wrong and one right don't make a right. When you're around sinful folks and hang out with them, you'll pick up on that. They won't lift you up as a Christian. They'll drag you down to their level, and that sin will start bringing sin in with you. So you can imagine how it was when these two got together. Oh my! And so the Lord sent Elijah. So many times the Lord sends the pastor, the preacher man, or just a man of God into a place like that. And he's probably sent some of you into some wicked places. You ever walked into a family reunion and feel like you're the only one in there, that all of them's outlaws? And amen. I've been there. And you think, Lord, what am I doing here? God will send you them places to use you. He'll use you for that. We're going through some of that with my family, Miss Sheila's family, Miss Sherry's family right now. And y'all pray for them. There's a lot of lost folks in that family. They need the Lord, and we're the only light that they see. Miss Sheila, my wife, was talking, y'all sit where you want to, teens, was talking to one of the grandsons of Miss Joan yesterday at the hospital. And the young man is in his early 20s. He knew who God was, but he didn't even have any idea what it meant to be saved. What were you talking about? Never heard the gospel message preached to him. There's folks like it in your family. Amen? If you don't believe me, look around. So we need to pay attention to what God tells us to do, and especially where He puts us, and do what He says do. The Holy Spirit ever speak to your heart and tells you, go over there and talk to that person. Just drum up a conversation with them about fishing or hunting. If it's a woman, about a recipe, a TV show you like. Just start that conversation and then befriend them and let them know about the Lord. Just start talking about church. You don't know what effect it can have on people and people's lives. Absolutely, you don't know. So, on with our lesson. Amen. Y'all got that for free. Elijah the Tishbite came out of nowhere. And I got to thinking about that and dwelling on those thoughts. Our Lord appeared in a place where He was hated. Amen. When He was born and He went out in the wilderness, He came back to preach. He came into His own, and they received Him not. Same thing happening here with Elijah. It's a picture of our Lord as He did His earthly ministry. And I'll give you some points tonight that'll help you with that. First thing He did was says, Ahab, you're a wicked, evil man, and as the Lord God of Israel liveth, your water's fixing to be cut off. It ain't going to rain for 3.5 years. That's a long time, folks. Y'all know what it's like around here. These summers we have, it we'll go for a month or two with no rain. My garden didn't do nothing this year, George. Amen. It didn't have enough rain when we needed it, but then it had too much. Could you imagine no rain at all for even 3 months? For 3 years, everything in that country had died. No water for the plants, no water for the animals. Terrible time. But God, who's still in control, amen, He takes care of His own. It said, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, He knew what was going on. He knew that Ahab and Jezebel was going to, well, y'all know, remember what Jezebel wanted to do? She wanted him dead. Amen. What'd they want to do with Jesus? They wanted him dead. Right? And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, as before Jordan. You know, the Lord, he did that several times. You remember when they wanted to stone him? He would hide himself and just walk right through the crowd. They couldn't lay their hands on him. It wasn't his time. God protected him. God was protecting this man, Elijah. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook Cherith. Now, Elijah's name, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it'll tell you that it means, my God is Jehovah. That's the meaning of his name. That my God, Jehovah, is an all-sufficient God. He's self-sufficient. He needs absolutely nothing, and he needs absolutely nobody. What a name for a man. And you just think about this. Whenever Jesus asked Peter, who do they say that I am? And Peter said, some say you Elijah. Elias, that's who he was talking about. He was, even the Lord, Peter looked at the Lord and said, some people think you're like Elijah. What a reputation this man of God had. Thank the Lord. But Peter finally got it right. You know, he said, Jesus asked, who are you? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter made a lot of mistakes and messes. He finally got it right. So here goes Elijah over to hide behind the brook. Can you imagine going out in the woods and hiding out and not knowing what's going to happen to you? But the Lord said, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook that I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Our Lord, the master of all, he has power over nature. He has power over every living thing. You may not believe that. I saw a man's breath leave his body yesterday. And I was there today as a woman's breath was about to leave her body. And I pray every morning. It's just out of habit. I thank Lord for the breath of life. And you ought to do that because, you know, David says he holds my breath in his hand. And he does. I'm moaning groan when I get out of bed too like some of y'all, but he holds your breath in his hand. You know, without that breath, your body won't function. You die. But even more than that, he gives you that spiritual breath, that holy spiritual breath. We're going to get to that too. The master, he commanded the ravens. You know, the ravens to the Jews back then, and they were sort of nasty. They didn't want nothing to do with ravens. They were considered unclean. The Lord can use unclean things to help God's people. The Lord will use a sinner to help a saved person. I don't understand that sometimes, but it's God. We don't understand God. Remember Pharaoh? The Lord said, told Moses, go down there and tell him, you want him to let my people go? And Moses, I don't know about all that. And the Lord says, it ain't going to matter no way. He said, I'm going to harden his heart. He ain't going to let them go till we do all this. And that's just the way he hardened his heart, a sinful man, for he could receive the glory. Amen? The children were let go. They were free. And God will do that. God so many times has put people in my life that were sinners, but yet they helped me see something that happened yesterday again. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. He provided him water and food. It says, so he went. Imagine that. He did what the Lord told him to do. Could we do that? Amen. I sometimes fail miserable. Brother Tim, I do. God will tell me to do something. And you know how it comes upon you sometimes? It's just a thought from the Holy Spirit, and then we don't act on it. Elijah was different from a lot of these Old Testament prophets. They prophesied and they wrote it out. Elijah was one that when he came on the scene, he heard the word of the Lord. He prophesied the word of the Lord or preached the word, what he was doing, and then he acted on it. He did it. He didn't waste no time. When God told him something, he did it. If we could just grasp onto that and do it, how much better would our lives be? How much closer would we be to God? That's what he wants us to do, obey him. Obey him. You ever God ever spoke to your heart and said, call somebody, and you didn't, and then something happened to him, and you said, man, I wish I'd have called him. Miss Sherry told me yesterday, her brother, Spanky, they called him. His name was Roy. They had a sort of a love-hate relationship since they were teenagers. and a lot of things went on there. But last week he got a job working down here in Flower Branch, sweeping the parking lot and stuff. Brother Archie knows him. We talked about him the other day. That's the one you were thinking the other one was. And he actually was, he'd been having seizures. He'd been taking medication, but she'd been talking to him that week and telling him how proud she was of him, of getting out and doing something and trying and not sitting around the house and being sorrowful and pitiful for herself all the time. And he says, well, yeah, I do. I feel good about myself. And the last words that he spoke to her was, I love you, sis. Think about that. Remember that when you're talking to your loved ones. And she said, I love you too. You may be the last time you speak to them. You don't know. That was Friday. About 1 o'clock, at 3 o'clock, he was laying in ICU, never spoke another word. Think about that. Remember those times when God tells you to call somebody. Call them. Call them, tell them you love them, tell them you appreciate them. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. So he went over there and hid out where God told him to go exactly. And here comes, that was the place God told him to go. You ever wonder why God puts you in a certain place at a certain time? I do that. I was working down here at SKF, and I left my job and went to work with some other guys and worked up there a while. And y'all have heard me talk about the ministry down there at Cottrell before, and how I was a lost man working there when I worked there years ago. And God just spoke to my heart. My wife was having to change jobs, and we needed insurance coverage. And Cottrell just come into my mind, and I went down there and applied for a job, and they hired me. And it was all because God wanted me to be back in a place where I could preach the gospel to those men that knew I was lost before. And I was thinking, Lord, why'd you put me back down here? That was the reason. See, God has a reason for every one of you in here to be right here tonight. He has a reason for tomorrow, wherever you're going to go, for you to be there. There's no such thing as chance. There's no such thing as luck. It's divine intervenience of our Savior. Everything's in order. He makes no mistakes. And look at verse 6. And the ravens, God had him in the place he wanted him to be. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. Twice a day he got fed by the Lord. Can you imagine how much food a little raven could carry? Probably not much. You ever seen a bird pick up a worm and they eat about half of it before they tote it off anyway? Imagine old Elijah sitting out there by the brook. Lord, what you got me over here for anyway? And here comes the ravens flying. He didn't say one. It said the ravens. I don't know how many of them. It may have been hundreds of them. You imagine him sitting there and here comes a flock. You ever seen them flock? This time of year the ducks is flying, you know, in the V's. But them little sparrows, they'll fly around, look like a swarm of bees. You ever see that? It's amazing how God does that. And I've not yet figured out how that lead duck gets all of them to line up. God did that too, amen? They don't have GPSs and radar. That's God. And he commanded them ravens to get together and go out and not worry about themselves or their little ones in the nest, but to worry about the man of God over there and gather up some food every morning and take it to the exact spot where he was and drop it off to him and feed him. And then go about their business, but in the evening, drop whatever you're doing, go gather some more food and take it over to my man. Amen. That's God right there. The message there is no matter where you're at, God is going to provide for you if you're one of his children. He's going to take care of you. There's been a lot of times I wondered, how am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to pay that bill? I don't know, but I ain't never went hungry, Brother Tim. I ain't never went hungry. I've had peanut butter sandwiches for a week straight, but God provided them, amen? You know, He will. Wherever you're at, whatever place you're at, that's God's provision. That's His provision. And then we get to something here that'll make you wonder sometimes. Old Elijah's in a pretty safe place. He's hid out down there from King Ahab and old wicked Jezebel, and the birds is feeding him, and he's got plenty of cool water in the brook there to drink. And he says, well, God's taking care of me. You know, I'm doing okay. And then all of a sudden in verse 7 it says, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. Now God had designed all this as part of His perfect plan for Elijah. Y'all know He did his five miracles, wasn't it? And every one of them are right in here. And they were divinely inspired. God put Elijah in exactly this spot to get some things done that needed to be done and use the man of God. I think he's one of the greatest prophet other than Moses that you can read about in the Old Testament. And there's reasons for that. You remember who stood on the Mount Transfiguration? Well, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. I mean, there's something to all this, folks. I mean, it ain't just no storybook. This is history. I was talking to my son about a history book one time. He was reading something about the Civil War and some things, and he had a book about that thick. And I said, you read that? He said, yeah. He said, that's a good book. And I was saying, well, you ever read the Book of Kings and Chronicles? And he said, some of it. That's some of the greatest history. These archaeologists and all out in the deserts digging up all these bones and these pyramids trying to figure out who was king back then and who was king over here in this country. Get your Bible out and read it. Amen. It'll tell you. That's the greatest history of this time that's ever been written. It's down to detail. And the things that are not in here, we don't need to know, because if they were of our benefit for us, they would be in God's Word. Amen? So, the brook dried up. Now, can you imagine God taking care of you, and all of a sudden, your water gets turned off, Brother Allen? Elijah said, Lord, what's up with that? What's going on? Because there had been no rain in the land. And Elijah had to think for a minute. Wait a minute. The Lord's the one that told me to preach and to prophesy there wasn't going to be no rain. He did what God told him to do, and God stopped the rain. And now everything's dried up. Where's the water going to come from? Where's the help going to come from? Well, Elijah didn't do nothing. He just sat there for a second. Things going wrong in your life, and you're having trials and tribulations, whatever it is, don't run out and do something drastic. I've done it. I know some of you have. Just remember, God's in charge. Just wait. If you wait patiently on the Lord, that's what the Scripture says. Wait. That's our problem. Ain't none of us patient. I want it now. Y'all want it now? I get mad when I pull up to McDonald's and there's three in front of me and I have to sit there for about 10 minutes. I want it now. I want my Big Mac and my fries and get on out of the way. My big old sweet tea. Now, I'm glad they put two lines in now, but you have to fight to go around this one and go around that one, right? But we just not patient. Elijah just sat there for a second. It don't say how long, but I'm sure that the closer you get to God, the quicker you get your answers. I believe that. I said some prayers in the last month, and God answered them before I even prayed them. And you know, we don't understand that sometimes, how that God can do those things for us. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, David said. He also has become my salvation. That's who we're talking about here, the Lord Jehovah. And the word, verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. Elijah just sat there for a minute, and all of a sudden, boom, God speaks to his heart again. He thought he was doing good. The brook dried up. Now he has no water. You think he might have been wondering, reckon them birds is going to come by and bring me some food today too? Sometimes when things start happening, they accumulate fast. I hate to keep bringing up Miss Sherry again, but she's upon my heart. I talked with her yesterday and said, Miss Sherry, do you know that things are going to get worse before they get better? Because, you know, Miss Joan was long for this world, and we knew that. And she's at peace with it, but, you know, you walk out of one room looking at your brother deceased, and then you walk across the hall and your sister's laying there, and it gets your mind to going, Lord, what's going on? Sometimes God lets things get a little worse, a little worse, a little worse, to get you going in the direction you need to go in. It's for His glory, not for ours. It's for His benefit, not for ours. And look at it as you say, it's not for your benefit as much as it is for others. Jesus was all about others. He never thought about Himself. Oh, Elijah here, he didn't have no home. He wandered around his whole ministry. He wandered around. It says he was a Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead. That's where he was from, but he didn't have a place to lay his head, just like our Lord. He wandered around preaching. Amen? Sometimes you get to thinking that way yourself. What am I going to do? Lord, where do I need to be? Just remember, He's in control. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Get up from the brook, Elijah, and go on down there to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, God knew when Elijah went to the brook that the brook was going to dry up. He had already ordained that this widow woman be there when he told him to get up and leave to go down there. And I find it amazing where he sent him. He sent him down to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, which is part of the same place. If you look back in verse 31 there that we just read in chapter 16, where Jezebel was from. Now he went from preaching to King Ahab, Jezebel's husband, and getting on him. Hey, you're wicked. And if you don't change, if you don't repent, God's going to shut your water off. It ain't going to rain for 3.5 years, and your whole country's going to dry up. Everything in it's going to die. And then God moved him out of the way, moved Elijah out of the way to protect him. And then he took care of him here at the brook, and then the brook dried up, and then he sent him over there to where Jezebel lived. That's Ahab's wife. Wicked, wicked woman again. Send him right back into the heart of the wicked place. Sometimes God does that. He takes you out of one place and you think everything's honky-dory, as we say, and He puts you right in the midst of the bee's nest. Amen? You ever run into some yellow jackets or something cutting grass and they just... Amen. Sometimes it's like that. The Lord puts you where the hornets is going to eat you up if you don't watch out. You got to depend on Him. You got to trust in Him. So, Elijah didn't even think about it. Again, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, verse 8, get up and get on down there. Verse 10 said, so he arose and went. He didn't waste no time. He didn't argue. He didn't say, Lord, you know that old Ahab and Jezebel got married, and they out to get me. They're plotting against me already. He said, he just got up and went on down there. Amen. Sometimes when God tells you to do something, just get on up and go do it, Jim. Don't waste no time. You're going to feel bad about it if you don't do it. And the Lord's going to rebuke you for it later anyway. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there. Can you imagine him walking up? If you can read over in 2 Kings, I believe it is, it gives a description of Elijah. Said he was a hairy man, and he wore a leather belt, kind of like John the Baptist looked. coming out of the wilderness. Y'all remember how John the Baptist looked? He ate locust and honey, just a woolly booger, like a mountain man. What was that show that used to come on with Grizzly Adams? Remember how he looked? That's somebody you wouldn't want to see walking up to your house, especially if he's a widow woman and you was living alone, you know, and all of a sudden this big hairy man comes out with a leather belt on, and there she stood. And the scripture says here in verse 10 that when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." Now, she ain't never seen this man before. You think about that. But he's God's man. God sent him there. God had ordained her to be there and him to be there, just like the woman that was sitting on the, drawing the water out of the well when Jesus walked up and sat down. Remember how I told you about starting a conversation with somebody can get them interested in the Word of God and lead them to repentance? That's exactly what Jesus did with her. He walked up and sat down, asked her for a drink of water, and started a conversation with her. Next thing you know, she got saved. Went home ranting and raving about it, and lots of folks got saved. Amen? That's what happens. I mean, God's Word is powerful. So we just saw the places God puts us. We just saw the provisions of God. And we're going to see the power of God's Word. Every time the Lord spoke to Elijah, he did exactly what he told him to do. He wasted no time. He tarried not. He just went and did it. Obedience is better than sacrifice. It doesn't matter how much money you throw in the plate every Sunday. You ought to give, amen. But that has absolutely nothing to do with the way the Lord wants you to worship Him. Your tithes has nothing to do with worship. That's an offering unto the Lord. Amen? You give of your first fruits. Your worship is in spirit and truth. He wants you. He don't want you working to serve Him. And don't take that the wrong way. Faith without works is dead. If you saved, I believe you're going to work. And you know that too. But if you think the more you do around the church makes you a better worshiper of God, you got the wrong idea about it. You're placing your works above your worship. And we need to get rid of that. You worship Him in spirit and truth. The other things will fall right in place. Amen. You get your heart right with God. And the reason you're here is because you want to be here, not because mom and daddy made you come or you think the pastor's going to get mad at you if you don't show up. If you're here for the right reason, everything else will fall right in place. God ordained it that way. So he arose and went, and when he got there, he saw that woman. He said, "Hey, lady, bring me a drink of water." Could you imagine what went through her mind at that time? Yeah, who is that fool? Amen. I mean, can you imagine that? And she was going to fetch it. Now she didn't, look at verse 11. She didn't question him. The Lord had already put her there. And it says as she was going to fetch it, he called to her again and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand." I don't want you to just bring me a drink of water. I want you to bring me something to eat, too. Y'all wives hear that a lot. Oh, my. I learned a long time ago not to holler at my wife and tell her to bring me something. Amen. I ask nicely, and I get it. I receive it. But, you know, we get broke in over the years. Amen. Or broke, I guess you'd say. But can you imagine what went through her head? Amen. Can you imagine what went through her mind? Who does he think he is? And she's going to find out who he is. He said, "Bring me a drink of water, I pray thee, and a morsel of bread in thy hand." In verse 12, her response. Now, we already discussed how Elijah was in a certain place because God put him there. to rebuke King Ahab and try and get this king to start changing his heart and get back into serving the Lord. He was so wicked and wicked that the whole country had just fallen into wickedness. It's a sad thing to say, but the United States of America is well on its way there now. We need some people in this great country that it is that'll stand up and get back in the Word of God and start living for the Lord and doing what's right and not being wicked. God hates wickedness. The Scripture says that He is angry with the wicked every day. And the people that rule this nation, if they don't repent of their sin and get their hearts right with God, there's going to be judgment. And I believe that with all my heart. I pray, God, that the church is raptured out before then. But this country will never prosper with wicked men in rule. Absolutely not. I mean, we don't have much to choose from. I know that. We just pray that we get the worst of the two evils, I guess. The Lord, I believe that the Lord will put into power what is in the heart of the people. That's Scripture. There's Bible for that. They wanted the children of Israel wanted a king. God gave them a king. It was wicked. It was what was in their heart. They wanted a king. They didn't want to serve the Lord. They wanted somebody else to tell them what to do. So it's the hearts of the people has a lot to do with it also. But just pray about that. Pray about we need some folks that'll stand up and do what's right for the Lord in this country. Will prosper and get back to where it needs to be. But Elijah, he was doing exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. He was in the place where he wanted to be. He was provided everything he needed by the Lord, food and drink, and he got moved again. Sometimes God just moves you. I don't understand that sometimes. God will put you in a certain place, and you'll just be prospering, doing well, and think things is okay, and you're living right, and thinking you're getting your head above water, and all of a sudden God says, no, come on over here for a while. I think he does it because as Christians, we get kind of comfortable. Y'all comfortable right now? Anybody about to fall asleep? Emily, okay? Not sleepy. Jimmy, wake up. As a Christian, if you're not careful, you'll get complacent with where you're at, and you'll get comfortable, and the next thing you know, you'll fall asleep. Amen. There's a lot of folks are sleeping in church right now. I'm not talking about just nodding out and went to sleep. I'm talking about they're spiritually asleep. And so when God moves you or does something in your life, makes a change in your life, don't think he's trying to hurt you. He's probably trying to help you, to wake you up and get you stirred up to where you'll be spiritually awakened again, and you'll be able to get more breath, more spiritual breath. He moved Elijah, and then we had the power of God's Word is coming up here. And she said unto him, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. He was wanting, it says a morsel of bread, a cake. You know, they made them little, I call them whole cakes, like a biscuit, pretty much. Amen. Y'all read a whole cake? My mama used to make them this big around. Ooh, them things are good. Sop them up in some gravy, man. That's good stuff. But he wanted a morsel of bread, and she said, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil and a curse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it or prepare it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. That's a sad verse of Scripture right there. She had... Now you got a picture of where she's at. She's in the land there. There's been a drought. For 3.5 years, ain't been no rain. Everything's dried up, no food. all the animals is probably dead, no grass for them to eat, no water for them to drink. And all she's got left is a little handful, Brother Allen, of meal in a barrel. I mean, just a handful. And just enough oil to put in there and make one little cake. And she was going to do that to where her and her son could eat it and then die. Brother Allen had lost all hope. There was no hope there. They looked around at the land and in the wickedness that was there. You got to picture this. All those people there did was worship Baal, worship idols. You know the story is on over in chapter 18 when Elijah faces them one-on-one and calls fire out of heaven to burn up their sacrifices. They're in that land and everything's gone and all she's got left is that one little morsel of bread to be made. But Elijah knew something she didn't know. That y'all heard it before? Little is much when God is in it. It don't matter how much you got. If God's in it, that's all you need. You think about it. She was there in this God-forsaken land with just one little morsel to eat left. And she said, when I get these two sticks and I get this fire going here and I get this bread dressed and it gets done, me and my son's going to eat it and we're going to die because we don't have no hope. And Elijah says, verse 13, wait a minute. Fear not. Just fear not. I got a problem with fear. I worry. I know Scripture says we shouldn't fret, we shouldn't worry, but I'm a man. Yeah. But Tim, I worry. I do. And as God is my witness, I pray every day, Lord, help me not to worry about this. Take control of this. And I do just like we're supposed to do, but still in my feeble little mind and my weakness in my flesh, I worry about things. Anybody in here worry about things? Amen? But Elijah knew something we don't know. See, he was a prophet of the Lord. He heard directly from the Lord. The Lord had told him what to do already. He said, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. Go ahead and do what you was going to do. Take that little bit of meal you got and that little bit of oil you got, which you think ain't going to be enough, which you think is all you got, and go ahead and dress it and get it ready. But make me, therefore, a little cake first. See, he was going to put God in it. God wasn't in it. That's the trouble of this country today. That was the trouble of that country back then. God wasn't in it. You think about it. If God was still in the schools, there wouldn't be no guns in schools. Amen? There wouldn't be no drugs in schools. There wouldn't be teenagers getting raped in schools. Things like that wouldn't happen if God was still in the schools. Yeah. I remember when I went to grammar school, my second and third grade teacher, Miss Hultsey, she had the King James Bible laying on her desk. And every morning we stood up and pledged allegiance to the flag. And she read some scripture. And then we had English. Boy, I hated English, but amen. What happened? What happened? Folks got out of church, quit praying, quit reading their Bibles. Let the wicked come into power. God's not in it. We got to get God involved back in. I know God's in y'all's lives, in y'all's homes. We got to get God in our families' homes. The more people that get saved, get in the house of God, get right with God, get in their Bibles, get on their knees, God will start moving. We can have a revival tomorrow just as they did in the days of Pentecost. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that happened then. Yeah. Pentecost is not going to happen again, the coming of the Holy Spirit. He's already come. But there can be a revival tomorrow. 5,000 people can get saved. God can do that. Amen. The pastor's out there preaching in Valdea, where they grow all them onions, he's threatening to bring some back. And they could be 5,000 people saved. I don't know. If you doubt God can do that, then you doubt God. Amen? I don't doubt what God can do. But when God gets in it, anything can happen. Remember the little boy that when Jesus had all them people to eat sitting there, and he had the two fishes and the three little barley loaves? God got in it. What happened? He fed over 5,000, didn't he? Had some left over. Amen? Well, see, that happened in the New Testament. We're in the Old Testament. It happened then. A lot of people don't understand. They don't want to read the Old Testament, don't want to study. It ain't got nothing to do with what happened after Jesus came. Oh, yes, it does, absolutely. It's all a picture of what happened. Elijah said to her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." Now she just got through telling him, "Hey, look, you old hairy man, I ain't got nothing but one handful of meal and a little bit of oil, just enough for one little cake, and I'm going to make it, and me and my son's going to eat it, and we're going to go out and die. We ain't got no hope left." And Elijah said, "Wait a minute, don't do that." She said, "Go ahead and make a little cake, but make it for me. And we're going to get God in this thing. We're going to get it going. And then make one for you and your son." She had to be thinking, don't you understand, I ain't got no more. The meal barrel's going to be empty. The oil barrel's going to be dry. And me and my son ain't going to have nothing to eat. And this is all we got. And you still want me to do that? Then verse 14 comes up, and it says, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel." Elijah's giving her God's word here. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel." I want to hear what God has to say. I do a lot of talking when I preach and teach, and that's just the way I am. I don't try to be Pastor Lee. I don't try to be Billy Graham or whoever you... I'm Keith. You know what I mean? I just preach what God gives me, what's on my heart, and teach you, but... I want to hear what the Lord said. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, if you do what I tell you to do," that's getting back to obeying God, "if you will do what God tells you to do, you will be blessed." I have no doubt in my mind. God has blessed me. That old Dodge truck I drove, and y'all seen me drive it, looks like a dog, and that thing was eating me up in gas. I spend $140 a week back and to work. Gas. Couldn't afford nothing else. Couldn't afford to buy anything else. And I pray, "God, make a way for me to get something else. Help me out here. Lord, I need some help." I was trying to balance these bills and balance them to where I could afford something else to drive. And one day my son calls me. He says, "Dad," says, "me and Carrie's going to buy a little bit bigger car where we can get Abigail in and out of the back seat better. And so I was wondering if you'd want this one." Amen. I didn't ask for it. I had no idea they'd do it. They give it to me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That thing gets 37 miles to the gallon. Whoa, hallelujah, y'all. And you know, that's just God.
That's right.
I was doing what God told me to do, praying, trying to live right, doing my best to serve Him. God tell me to go over to the nursing home, preach, I go over there. God tell me what to preach, that's what to preach. Just obey God, and He'll bless you. You can't out-bless or out-give God. I don't care. You can put $100 in here every week. God will give you more. That's just the way He is. It's just God. He's God. I don't understand it. He is just God. Little as much when God is in it. Amen. Elijah said, "Fear, do as you said you was going to do, but make me that little cake first." That's taking care. I'm going to close here and just say, taking care of the man of God. Now, I wanted to bring this up while we was in this verse, because y'all know it's Pastor Appreciation Month, and we all appreciate our pastor, and I know all of you do. All of you love him, but if you take care of the man of God, God will take care of you. That's plain and simple. That's you're supposed to to love the man of God. He loves you. He devotes his life to serving God, to pleasing God, to helping you. And God uses pastors. They are special people. I'm a preacher. I'm not a pastor. I can't be a pastor. That's not what God has in mind for me. He may change that someday. I don't know that. But right now, our pastor, love him, appreciate him, call him, tell him that. It's Pastor Appreciation Month every day. You'll be blessed for that. The right time to do it is right now. If you hadn't told him you loved him and you appreciate what he does, this week, he told me yesterday he'd already got a few cards and stuff. I know some of you's done that. Do it. Do it. He's got... Yesterday, and I share this with y'all because y'all family, as we're standing around that bed waiting on Miss Joan to go on to be with the Lord, and that nurse comes running in the other room to tell us he's just had that massive heart attack. And my wife had already told me that the pastor and Miss Angie was coming up to visit Joan because he knew he was going out of town. Now tell me this ain't God using a pastor. At the moment he had the heart attack, I went out of the room and I called the pastor. He said, I'm pulling in the parking lot right now. Miss Sherry needs a pastor. She needed him. I'm her nephew. I'm a preacher of the family. I'm not a pastor. I could not do what he did yesterday. When he walked in, it hadn't been 5 minutes till they come in and said he's gone. She had just sat down, and in walks our pastor. God put him right on time, at the very right time, to be right where he needed to be. The chaplain had come in from the hospital, and I was thinking, you know, that's standard operating procedure up there, but I don't know who he was. Don't know if he was a Catholic or a Methodist or what. It didn't really matter. I knew she needed her pastor. God had ordained that her brother leave this world at the very time when our pastor got to that place. Amen. I got the privilege to step aside and watch him pastor as he and my wife and Miss Angie went into the room where Roy's body laid and let Miss Sherry say her goodbyes. I saw him pastor. What a blessing. Amen. You need a pastor. You appreciate your pastor. He loves you. Amen. Fear not and do this, Elijah said. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the curse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. The power of God's word. Remember, the power of God's word shut up the heavens. No rain. The power of God's word can also open up the heavens. It says, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the curse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord. Amen. It's one thing about it, the power of God's word, if it's obeyed, you'll be blessed. God's word's going to prevail. Man's not. God's word has been forever tested. Ever since the beginning, the book of Genesis, all the way to the book of Revelation, it has stood the test of time. The prophecies have been fulfilled. We're waiting on the rapture now. I mentioned the country, the government and stuff earlier. They're wanting a separation of church and state. They don't think God has any part in politics. And, well, I believe that because there's not any God in politics these days. They'll get their wish. There'll be a separation of church and state at the rapture. The church will be gone. Amen.
The state will still be here. God's word will prevail.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John, chapter number 14, that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.